Órale, bienvenidos and welcome to episode número dos of the Familia FFB podcast. We're your hosts, Jorge Martin, Georgie, Hector Reyes, and Ricky Torres.
What up?
What's up, y'all?
So we're all recovered from our safe at home Cinco de Mayo celebrations.
Indeed.
Yes.
Let's just say that some good beer was had by all.
Yes.
You know, have you ever wondered what's the best day to go to a popular Mexican restaurant to get a table? Go on May 6. So I know from experience, my immediate familia, my mom, my pop, and my brother and my two sisters, we would often go to Mexican restaurants on May 6 because that was my father, Juan Martin Sr., that was his birthday. R.I.P. Pop, we love you. We love you. So he'd often choose a Mexican restaurant to go on his birthday, and when we would go, they would be ghost towns. So if you're looking for takeout tonight, get out to your local Mexican restaurant because the lines might not be that long. And you never know, you might be supporting one of our relatives.
Indeed.
There you go. It's like going to Vegas on a Monday, right? Everybody's gone, so that's the best day to go.
So we touched on in our first show how Ricky and Hector love them some cervezas, and I often go to them as far as for recommendations. And they have really wide and varied tastes. So, Primos, tell us about some of your favorite beers.
Well, I'll start out right now, as a matter of fact, because generally, as I'm doing the show, I'll more than likely be imbibing something, some type of beverage, either a beer, maybe a cocktail of sorts. But for now, I'm drinking a Green Cheek Coco Mesa. It's a nitro coconut rice stout. I actually picked it up. I was out hanging out with some cousins, having a social distance beer. My cousins Ben and Christina Kashik out there in Anaheim, about 30 seconds away, I guess, from Green Cheek. They live just right down the street from the brewery. Picked that up. Actually, before that, had gone to Bottle Logic. Anyone out there that's a fan of good stouts, Bottle Logic, some of the best you'll ever have. They're also out there in Anaheim. I had picked up a couple of beers, one called Weight Ratios, which was a collaboration between Bottle Logic and Horace Aged Ales. They're out of Oceanside, and we cracked one open. It was just phenomenal, just mind-blowing, amazing beer. So if you ever get a chance, Bottle Logic and or Horace, A+.
So this is Green Cheek that you gave me?
Yes, sir.
This is amazing. Nitro. I love nitro beers because they're usually smooth.
Very smooth.
But I'm all about the IPAs.
There we go.
Right now I got some Citraholic from Beechwood up in my fridge, and that's probably what I'm going to be sipping on for a while. I also got the Misto from, I think that's how you pronounce it, from Modern Times. That's a really good hazy.
Ooh,
right now.
Can't go wrong.
So I'm all about the hazes, all about that juiciness in
the
my
haze
IPAs.
Craze. There's nothing wrong with that.
All because Pliny the Elder got me looking for that hop.
The
Holy Grail.
The gateway beer.
So now I'm all hops, but every now and then it's nice when Hector gives me something tasty that I usually never have. Like, what is this? You said chocolate, coffee,
coconut, rye.
There you go. That's where that special taste is.
So, yeah,
but we'll get you on these beers, George.
There we go.
No, there's all sorts of recommendations. Usually, because my palate is pretty much Pacifico or Modelo just with to sipping. I mean, on a hot day, I'll take those.
Lawnmower beer.
It's Corona.
But I will tell you one of the ones when I don't go with the recommendations by these guys. One of the ones that I like a lot is St. Archer.
There you go.
That one's been a strong
San
one.
San Diego.
And I live in the West Valley, the San Fernando Valley. Orale, 818 Brewing. Out on DeSoto. They're solid.
That's
great, nice home, home brew. Out here close to my mom's house. Mom's in Sylmar and San Fernando Brewery. That one's also a solid one. So we enjoy those a lot.
It's very important that we get you to have a good palate, Georgie, because you're definitely the source of many of my beers throughout the season. Because throughout the year, we like to bet beers against each other for wins. Usually, I hate making those bets because I always lose when it's an easy win. But against Georgie, it's nice to have him throw me a beer once a year. Every Christmas, when we have the championship, that's when everyone brings the beers that are owed. It's a good time. Good time to be alive.
We'll play that. I tell you, one time, Hector's brother, Victor, paid me off with something, and I don't even know what it was.
Monkish, maybe?
It might have been monkish, but it might have been, I think it was before the monkish craze landed with La Familia.
Maybe.
I think it was something in the Pliny, in the Pliny family.
Okay, okay.
But yeah, it was.
Maybe a blind pig, perhaps?
You know what? I think it was.
Yeah. Speaking of that, so that is my my fantasy football name, Blind Pigskin. Course, a little homage to Russian River Brewing and football, of course. So, beer is everything. So there you go.
You're gonna hear a lot of times from us that we're just gonna talk about the beers that we like. It's gonna be fun. I'm gonna be sharing about it with you. Maybe we'll put it in our blog on familiaffb.com. But again, and when it comes down to beers that bets that we make during the season, there are going to be beers that are on the line. So hopefully we'll keep some sort of tally so that you guys can all keep an eye on who's paying what to whom.
We hope you guys win some beer bets yourselves.
Yeah, hopefully we'll help you there.
Hopefully we give you the information you need so you can have those suds.
There you go.
So hey, let's get into some chisme. So yesterday we left out that there will be no international NFL games this year. Ricky likes to sleep in.
Who doesn't? who the hell wants to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday after you've been out partying on Saturday night to wake up at 6 a.m. to watch a couple of teams play in London? I've never liked it. You know, I got burned, I think it was last year. I had Melvin Gordon. He was in my lineup on Saturday night, and on Sunday morning when I woke up at about 10 to see that he, you know, hopefully had 20 points or 30 points, he had zero because he got benched, you know, at 6 in the morning. So.
And it's something that it takes out a lot of strategy. It just changes the game, changes the fantasy perspective. Because, yeah, then you got to worry about, oh, who's playing, who's going to miss, and who's going to, if I don't play this player in the morning, who am I going to put after him? I think London games are just, they're horrible. They're horrible for the players. And honestly, I think they're almost as bad as having Thursday night football, but that's a whole nother subject.
Yep. Thursday night football is fun in theory, but...
Definitely, you know, fun in theory.
You get some weird games in there. But hey, can you imagine London games and being in Hawaii? The game's like at 4 o'clock in the morning or something like that.
It's almost the day before.
Oh my God.
It's almost Saturday night football.
You just don't even want to go to sleep, man. So I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting. The games are, it's somewhat fun, but I love that the game start at 10 o'clock on the West Coast. To me, yep. West Coast is the best coast because of that. I'd hate to have to wait till 1 o'clock. I've been on the East Coast during football season and been like, it feels like an eternity for the games to get here. So
there you go.
Give me the 10 o'clock games and
1 p.m.
Hopefully we'll be able to give you guys some Twitter mentions or advice and let you know who to pick up and who to play, who to sit. So I think that's going to be it for some chisme. Today's show, as we mentioned, it's about running backs. The NFL draft happened last week. Usually the winning teams have some rookie running back that helped them.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and, you know, we're looking at the long-range factor. Running back is the position where the player gets the opportunity right away, and usually that's when they're ready for it the most. They don't have the long career, unfortunately. We hate to see that because a lot of times the running backs are our favorite players, especially in fantasy, and we'd love to see them have 10-year careers. But, you know, the years of Barry Sanders, those kind of guys playing for a long time and going out on top, that doesn't happen. Usually they burn out the young guys right off the bat, and hopefully that
well,
doesn't
the new
lead
running back by committee. This is the kind of the new trend. I think, you know, owners understand that, you know, their running backs are getting burned out, so, you know, they're trying to, you know, maintain that longevity.
Yeah, just have a productive running game.
Maximize their careers.
Yeah,
and so
maximize production.
Which is a killer for fantasy because, you know, now, you know, you're trying to pick up a running back, you're trying to pick a bell cow, you know, someone that's going to, you know, win a league for you, and they're splitting time. So it does make it a challenge for sure.
You know, but the one thing, you can get lucky. I mean, last year there were guys that got picked after the first two rounds, a Josh Jacobs, a Miles Sanders, Devin Singletary, even though he got hurt, he got some game. David Montgomery had some had a few highlight games, had a lot of clunkers in there. They all had some level of success. You also got to look at the fact that there are guys like Daryl Henderson, Damian Harris, guys who got picked in the third round when you still think that you're getting a running back who could help you, and they didn't do anything. I don't know if there's too many guys. I was salivating like I was eating my mom's enchiladas. Oh, my God. You know, all I could think of was Kareem Hunt's rookie year from I think it was 2017.
Yep.
I mean, God, 1,300 yards, 53 receptions, 11 total TDs. Oh, my God. And then they're talking about Andy Reid is saying that he's better than Brian Westbrook, who regularly had, you know, more than 1,500 yards. I think he even had one year with over 2,000 yards. Guys, what are you thinking? Is Damian Williams' job in jeopardy?
It's definitely in jeopardy. I mean, Edward Solari, he looks intriguing. He's a tiny guy, and honestly, the Chiefs, what they really thrive on right now is just that speed. They're not someone who they're a bruiser. They're just going to stuff it down your throat. No, they're going to throw it. They're going to do these play actions with screens to the side. So I think he fits in perfectly, and I think he definitely makes the other guys have to take a seat. Andy Reid's smart. He's not going to let this guy sit down if he knows how to use him correctly. And it seems like he got a good deal on him, and why not? I think definitely if you fall maybe 8th, 9th round and you get this guy, it's not a bad choice to get him and let him ride as your maybe 4th or 5th running back, because he's definitely going to play. Andy Reid's way too smart to let a guy like this not get in.
I don't know if he lasts that long. If there's a lot of publicity about him in training camp, as far as him being the guy, I think people are going to want to snatch him up, maybe even as high as the 3rd round.
Really?
I think somebody might reach for him. You think you get the lead running back in an Andy Reid offense? That's potentially scary. I don't know. I mean, somebody might reach for him. You know, there are Chiefs fans out there who they're still drunk right now from the Super Bowl celebration. So
I would say let Clyde sit there. You do not want to be – you don't want to snatch him within the 4th or 5th.
There's you don't want to reach. You don't want to reach
too much because it's not for sure that he's going to start. He's definitely going to. But the dude's tiny. He's 5'7". He's one of the smallest – running backs in the draft. He's got some thick legs, which is awesome, but I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want to draft him too high. I would definitely want to make sure he can ride my bench for most of the season. Yeah. But he could be sneaky if you're just trying to get that depth.
No, for sure. You're looking at the Chiefs offense. I mean, I think the rule of thumb that we've all pretty much figured out is draft the Chiefs. You know, on the Chiefs, just get whoever the hell you can. That's the Chief, you know. You're going to get points. So I think we've learned that up to this point. So if you can stack your bench, you know, like you said, if it's going to be a late stash, 7th, 8th, 9th, 12th round, fill your bench up as much as you can, and it'll pay dividends for you for sure.
Do you think he's going to pay more dividends than DeAndre Swift? Because he actually has a good chance of coming off the bench for Detroit, looking at all their past injuries with running backs and everything.
I like DeAndre Swift. Yes, Detroit has had, I'm sorry, if you're a Detroit fan, I apologize.
Your brother?
My brother Victor, I'm sorry, man. You know, there really hasn't been anybody since Barry Sanders. As much as the crazy part is that Barry Sanders played on the worst turf of all these guys, and he's the only one, it seems, that never got injured. Ever since then, we've had guys like Javid Best with the concussion and Amir Abdullah, these guys just can't stay healthy. And now we have Kerryon Johnson. Just add him to the list of Lion running backs that it just can't stay healthy. DeAndre Swift, rather, is going to be, you know, he's going to get a lot of touches. He's going to play a lot of games. We'll see what Matt Patricia has in mind, to get him going. Like Rick said, he's 5'8", one of the shorter RBs in the draft. 212 pounds. We'll see how it goes. He comes from, you know, if you want to take a flyer, he does come from Georgia, you know, where, as you know, you've got guys like Todd Gurley, you've had Nick Chubb, you've had Sony Michel. So he's had, you know, he's been coached by, you know, the new, you know, RB University, where, you know, it used to be USC. Georgia is the new running back.
Tailback U,
exactly. So, you know, he's, you know, pick 35, He's definitely going to get you some run if you pick him up. I think maybe late rounds. What do you guys think?
Well, you know what? A lot of these guys are under 5'10". That's the amazing thing. And Barry Sanders is 5'9". I think Swift has great cutting ability and very decisive runner. He likes to make a cut and go. And that, you know, Terrell Davis was really good at that. And maybe I hope that this means that the injury bug has left the injury or bad luck bug has left the Lions.
Hey, there's something.
Yeah, we want to see more guys who are fantasy relevant. He is. I think he has a chance to be really good. I don't know how good the Lions' offensive line is.
They can be okay because they. Kerryon Johnson could actually move when he had the opportunity.
Yeah.
So you're looking at this guy who was used to being a premier or the feature back. So I think he can definitely make something in Detroit. The thing is, are they going to give him the opportunity? Or are they going to try to spread the ball around just so that he doesn't have it? Because like Hector was saying, committee's kind of the whole thing nowadays. No one wants the bell cow unless it's like a Le'Veon Bell or someone who's done it before year after year. Right. So, he looks really good. He looks hot. He looks like the best running back in my eyes. Does he get the time? And plus, he's got to beat off, even though he's been injured a lot. Kerryon Johnson, even though he's been injured, he's still going to have to compete with him. He still looks strong when he's healthy, but it's hard to bank off an injury just so that DeAndre Swift can come up and play.
Yep.
I think honestly, Kerryon Johnson may not, I don't know if he ends up beating him out. I think you can't beat a guy out from the training room, and Swift has been healthy. I think he had a healthy last season at Georgia. Hopefully that carries over for him. We could always use another great running back who's the Lee Caballo.
He's definitely built like one.
Yeah. Well, speaking of another one who's built, Jonathan Taylor, 5'10", 226. And he actually ran the fastest 40 among all running backs at 4.39.
That's fast.
Ran a ton of balls. He had more than 300 carries all 3 years. And all 3 years at Wisconsin. And he had 2,000 yards last year and the year before. You know, could the Colts be moving on from Marlon Mack?
I don't see why. Marlon Mack did. His past 2 years, Marlon Mack has been okay. He hasn't been amazing, but he's been injured here. And honestly, I don't think Indy's been giving him the lanes that he should be. I think you give them more offensive tackles and all that stuff, Marlon Mack's still the number one running back to have there.
Yep.
I think, Marlon Mack, because I had him last year on a bunch of teams, he's just too solid. The team relies on him, and he does put up 100-yard games often. So I don't see Jonathan Taylor coming in and doing anything right away. But Jonathan Taylor definitely beats out Wilkins and all the other guys.
Oh, Nyheim Hines. I did a little math and I saw that the Colts had a combined 471 running back carries last year, and that's good. I mean, they're a running team. You know, Marlon Mack had 247 carries, so that's another about 220 plus carries that are available for Jonathan Taylor to take. So maybe if he gets 200 carries, he could have fantasy impact. He could be one of those mid-round picks that helps you out. And again, Marlon Mack missed some time last year. If that continues, Jonathan Taylor's a guy you're going to want to have.
However, I think because it's the Colts, Jonathan Taylor's not going to have that many opportunities because they just got Phillip Rivers. So they're going to want to throw the ball more than running, which means I just feel like the timeshare's not there for Jonathan Taylor. But hopefully, I mean, we'll see. Because I think Marlon Mack right now is way stronger than Jonathan Taylor.
The thing that I look at is that 40 time. I mean, 4.39. Yeah. So anytime you see, you know, a running back that's, you know, tops, you know, at the combine with the 40, you know, you got to open your eyes. You got to pay attention. So we'll see. You know, it's wait and see for me.
And it's interesting. One of the things the only knock I heard against Jonathan Taylor is the fact that he didn't catch a lot of balls when he was at Wisconsin. But, you know, Melvin Gordon had that same reputation, and I think he ended up being a guy who started to catch the ball. So I don't want to say he's not going to be good at catching the ball until given the opportunity, and we know that Phillip likes to dump it off.
Yep.
You know, another guy, let's, you know, still in the second round, you got Cam Akers, another intriguing possibility. Todd Gurley.
Adios.
He's in Hotlanta. Yeah, adios. He's almost as fast as Mr. Taylor, but God, he's I think Ram fans are going to say hola to Mr. Akers.
And they're definitely going to love him because he runs just like Dalvin Cook, but he's faster, 4.47, which is not too much slower than the 4.39 that you're talking about for Jonathan Taylor. And honestly, Akers can catch the ball, which the Rams used a lot when Gurley was healthy, which feels like it's been forever. But if all he has is Daryl Henderson and Malcolm Brown to take away carries from him, I mean, I don't think they're strong enough. They're still new as well. So I feel like you put Cam Akers in that same team. It's L.A. They're going to want the bright lights. They're definitely going to use him a lot. And because he can catch, Goff needs someone who can catch a ball over there. Because last year, Goff's numbers were horrible. And they couldn't rely on their running backs like they did with Gurley the previous years. Maybe Cam Akers is finally someone that Goff can rely on. But we'll see how they pull it off with those three running backs right now.
You know, the one interesting thing, heck, that I heard, Sean McVay pointed out that Akers threw the ball and played quarterback in high school. And now all of a sudden he's talking about, you know, doing like LaDainian Tomlinson or back in the day, Marcus Allen, you know, the running back option.
There you go.
He said they were going to throw that in there. Maybe he's blowing smoke. I don't think so. He likes the crazy plays.
Bring the Showtime back to LA.
You know, we have Edelman throwing touchdown passes, or, you know, so
yeah.
You never know. You never know.
I once won a fantasy championship because Dez Bryant threw a football or threw a touchdown.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm all for utility players throwing touchdowns.
There you go. Anybody, running backs, wide receivers throwing touchdowns.
Extra points.
There you go.
I think now I'm actually going to draft Cam Akers.
Even though he's across the hall, you know, from the...
Probably not.
Well, you know, one guy, you know, we've talked about committees. I think one guy who is a running back that a lot of people really liked and people didn't love watching him get, you know, J.K. Dobbins. Not J.K. Rowling of Harry Potter fame, but Dobbins, who, you know, watching him against Michigan and then in the championship games, he looked legit like a future workhorse.
Yep.
And but man, now he's got to share carries with Mark Ingram, with Lamar Jackson, maybe Gus Edwards.
Yep.
Is there going to be enough balls to go around for him?
Not yet.
Not at all.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think he just called it out, right? His time's coming. I mean, like you said, J.K. Dobbins, yeah, when you watch the guy play at the Ohio State, I mean, the guy, you know he's going to be a stud, and he is a stud. I mean, so he's going to put up points when he gets the opportunity. You know, Mark Ingram, Gus Edwards, right now they're in charge over there. Lamar Jackson's going to run his share of runs as well. So J.K. Dobbins right now, it's his time to learn, understand, you know, get comfortable with the offense. He may get, you know, his chance here and there, but number three running back on a team that not only has two running backs that run, but also a quarterback that runs.
So he's like the fourth running back.
He's like, yeah. Exactly. He's like the fourth running back on a running team. But, you know, the Ravens did well last year. The Ravens went far last year. So, you know, we'll wait and see, you know, if there are any injuries, you know, to either Ingram or Edwards. You know, Dobbins is going to get a shot, and as great as he's looked up to this point, you know, he could definitely be fantasy relevant, you know, later in the season.
And who knows? Like you said, he might not get much chance running the ball, but he's got receiving skills.
Yeah.
Yes.
So something that Ingram or Edwards aren't going to be doing too much of. So hopefully that's where he comes out there. That's where he can make his start. But yeah, he's definitely a name that I expect to see in the free agency.
Definitely.
After a few weeks.
Yep.
And you know, and he's definitely got to keep an eye on if one of the other running backs gets hurt. I think he's going to take a lot of carries away from Gus Edwards, and he may eat into Ingram's.
Maybe move into that second spot.
Right. And I think Lamar Jackson was saying he doesn't want to run as much. So hopefully, you know, if it's going to keep him healthy, I'd love to see that happen. You know, one guy who is interesting and maybe leads to somebody else not running as much, A.J. Dillon picking from the Packers. Again, you know, people were expecting them. Yeah, apparently people were thinking that they were going to go receiver here since they didn't go for receiver in the first round. You know, Is he going to eat into the 285 touches that Aaron Jones had last year?
Well, even the 107 from Jamal Williams. It looks like, honestly, Packers think they already have a great team, which they do. Last year they went, what, second seed? So maybe what they're just trying to do is get that the second team ready, because in 5 years they're going to be the starters.
Yep.
So that looks like what they're doing, because they're definitely not getting any weapons they're going to use this year. I mean, like you said, with Aaron Jones with his 200-plus carries, why do you think they would ever take the ball away from him? And Jamal Williams is an excellent number two, maybe one of the top ones in the whole country. So A.J. Dillon is just going to be there for insurance. And, yeah, I have no idea what the Packers were doing here. No, I could defend their love choice. I have no idea why A.J. Dillon is putting on that jersey.
I mean, they might want him to be the battering ram. He's a big guy. He's the same weight as Derrick Henry. So they might want a guy who, you know, gets in there and gets some of the goal line carries. Maybe that. I mean, Aaron Jones was really good near the goal line too, but maybe they want to keep him a little bit fresher. A.J. Dillon, I don't know. I think he might be a guy that you just stream, for bye weeks or something like that. He's a guy you keep an eye on, and especially if, Jones has missed some time, not last year, but the year before he missed some games. So, maybe.
He might be a pickup, but honestly, out of all the running backs, I think Keyshawn Vaughn sent to the Bucks.
Ooh.
You're going to want him because he's built solid. 5'10", 214. And he's on a great team, obviously, because of Tom Brady. So forget the line issues that the Bucks had previously. Ronald Jones was horrible. He's in the doghouse because of how he did last season. And Peyton Barber did no surprises. You probably could have found him in your free agency the entire year last year.
Yep.
So Vaughn has a nice chance to already, because of his size, take over the goal line carries, which hopefully they're going to have a lot more, because Tom Brady is just going to be able to move the ball and move the chains and not need these deep touchdowns that Jameis has been doing. Because, as you already know, Jameis got garbage time. Tom Brady's not used to garbage time. So if Vaughn can put himself ahead of the game and just prove that he's better than Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber, which isn't going to be hard, I think you actually got a pretty good rookie right here that you're going to want on your team and possibly pick up as a sleeper. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, through the years, I mean, we've seen any Patriot team behind Tom Brady, the running backs have generally done well from a fantasy standpoint. I had Sony Michel last year. He did well for me generally for the entire year. So, I don't see any reason why. Like you said, Keyshawn Vaughn, not really any competition there. Peyton Barber, like you said, not really looking at him at all from a fantasy standpoint. Ronald Jones, so if I'm looking at a running back on the Buccaneers, I'm definitely taking a look at Keyshawn Vaughn.
And you know what? We know that Brady likes to throw to his running backs. James White was one of his go-to guys in the trust circle, as they kept calling it. So I think that's going to be a good I think he has an opportunity there for him. He's a guy to keep an eye on because he could actually run away with this job. And that could be really good for fantasy owners if he does that, because that's going to be that offense is going to score some points, and we've seen offenses with Tom Brady and with under Bruce Arians the running backs score.
Well, I hope they can pull it off this year, because last year I hear all this stuff about Bruce Arians and just nothing's shown up except when they're down by 30 and they got to throw the ball up in the air.
Right, air it out. Arians got to air it out.
So we got, one intriguing guy to kind of see, and again, it's similar to the Baltimore situation, is Zach Moss going to the Bills.
Yep.
I had Devin Singletary last year, and he missed four games with a hamstring issue.
But he was great.
He was great. He was he was solid when he did. And, there's definitely going to be some carries that Frank Gore left behind. He had 166 carries last year. Zach Moss, he's a tank. He's another guy, 5'9", 223. I mean, he could be good. There could be a 1-2 punch there.
I think this is going to be a hell of a committee, honestly.
Yeah, he'll fill in for Gore, but again, another committee. So, and then again, when you have QB Josh Allen also taking his carries, so, you're going to have, Zach Moss looking at, RB number 3. But like you said, there's it seems like in Buffalo there's a lot to go around between Josh Allen, between Zach Moss, between Devin Singletary. We'll see how it goes. I'm not looking at Zach Moss as a really high pick, but yeah, I think down the road, he definitely some production there from a fantasy standpoint.
The Bills, I think, are built very similar to the Orioles, the Ravens. I was in baseball mode there for a second. But no, I think very great run. Love to run the game. Quarterback runs the ball. Great, you know, built with a great defense. I think I like the arrow's definitely pointing up, especially with the Stephon
Diggs. Yeah, I would say that too.
I like the Bills. I like the Bills a lot.
I think they now have an offense that can actually attack a lot more.
Yep.
I think Josh Allen had his back against the wall for a lot of last season, so now that he's got everyone healthy, hopefully, the whole year.
Yep.
Singletary, and then you got Zach Moss to pull up with the heaviness. I think they got something. And then if they want, they can just lob it deep to Diggs. I think this team looks good. I actually think Zach Moss gets a lot of playing time here, if not 20% of the snaps. I think he's actually going to do something good if Singletary's not injured. If Singletary's injured and you got Zach Moss leading it, I don't know.
That could be good.
But we'll see how the season
goes.
They
got a great line.
They got an awesome line.
Yeah, don't forget, Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year last year. So the guy knows how to carry the ball.
Yeah, sure. That's true. So if he gets the opportunity, hopefully he can run with it. I think they're in a lot better shape with Singletary and Moss than with Frank Gore and Singletary. I think they definitely upgraded their game.
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of upgrades, and I don't know how this one can be looked at as an upgrade, Darrington Evans going to the Titans late in the third round. He's maybe a handcuff late in the draft, but
I don't even think that much.
Yeah, Derrick Henry's the man. Él es el hombre. Yeah. So eso es todo. That's all we need to see.
And it's about time he's the man. I've been looking at him the past 3-4 years. He's been told he's going to be the man. Finally, last year, I took him in the third round. And he's the only guy that was on every team of mine in all my fantasy leagues. So I got a lot of love for this guy right now. I think Darrington Evans, thanks for supporting us. But here's a towel handed to Derrick Henry when he's done.
No, and unfortunately, as your timing was good, my timing was horrible because I had Derrick Henry the last 2 years consecutively. I picked him up because, like you said, you know, the word was out that Derrick Henry was going to be the guy. He was going to be the guy. He was going to be the guy. And for those first 2 years, he platooned and he didn't really do much of anything.
It was the damn committees.
It was the committee. Oh. So, and he wasn't supposed to be. The guy's built like a tank. The guy is just a beast. And I'm not understanding how he wasn't used more those first 2 years. So last year I passed on him, unfortunately. And then you picked him up. So there's my Derrick Henry story. But yeah, I wish I would have picked him last year. He finally, the chicken finally came home to roost. Unfortunately, I didn't pick him.
You know, one guy that got picked in the fourth round, Joshua Kelly out of UCLA. Go Bruins.
Love him.
He could be a sleeper. And, I mean, Rick, this is your
team. He's definitely coming into a good place. The Chargers, they look like they had a bad line last year. But I'll tell you personally, the line was always injured. I know that because from the previous year, we got two guys on the line. And the next year, which was last year, they were both injured. Forrest Lamp has barely played, and he's been I think it was a second rounder, and he hasn't even played yet. But Joshua Kelly's coming in. He's got Jackson ahead of him, but he's also got Eckler. Eckler looked amazing, but I think Joshua Kelly at least gives us that speed we need. Eckler's fast, but Kelly's a little bit faster. Eckler, though, has got that body to beat up. The reason I really like Joshua Kelly is, A, not only is he a UCLA Bruin, but he actually comes from the city of Lancaster because he went to, I believe, Pete Knight High School or Eastside High, something like that. So it'll be good when I go to the LA games and I can root on Joshua Kelly, who's a Bruin, a Charger, and from Lancaster.
There you go.
So he's going to make me just blush talking about him all day.
Call out the 661, right?
Damn straight.
Well, you know what, and the thing was, even when Eckler was, when Melvin Gordon wasn't there when he was holding out, it's not like he dominated the ball. So maybe the Chargers need somebody to eat up some of those carries. And obviously there's the spot open with the carries are open with Melvin Gordon. They used Eckler a lot out of the backfield and as a receiver. So maybe they could go with kind of like a thunder and lightning kind of thing.
Kind
with
of a
these
James
two
White,
guys.
Sonny Michel kind of.
Very much.
Yeah.
That could be, I mean, it could lead to some frustration. But honestly, there might be some weeks that he really pays off for you. I mean, also keep in mind, head coach of the Chargers, Anthony Lynn, was a running back, so he's going to value the running game.
And also, we just got rid of our top quarterback, so we're going to have to run a lot just to get Tyrod Taylor into the groove of things. So there's going to be a lot of running in L.A. for the Chargers. Maybe Kelly can actually get his foot in the door and be one of the guys who benefits from it. Because honestly, all he has to do is beat out Eckler. And I love Eckler. Eckler was a great runner. But I don't want to call him a fluke, but I want to say Eckler's benefited from the system because it was built for Eckler. So I really think if Kelly wants to make a name, he has a good chance here.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I think that's it. I mean, I think those are the running backs that could have some fantasy impact. Obviously, we'll talk about them more during training camp and obviously and during the season too, because, I mean, one of the things that we see so much, there's so much attrition in running backs. And so there's going to be guys getting hurt, and maybe some of these guys who were even picked later could become guys.
Maybe they end up being on TMZ and get suspended the whole year.
Ooh, let's hope
so
not.
So who knows?
Let's hope not. Well, that's it for our show. Thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out into El Mundo. Check out more running backs at our FamiliaFFB.com website. And also don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB, as well as our Facebook page. Gracias otra vez, familia.
Adiós, amigos.
See ya.
Salud.